You've got your Bibles. I would encourage you strongly to turn to Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. There are two psalms in the Old Testament that honor and glorify and exalt the Word of God more than any other psalms, and they're easy to remember because it's Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, where they hold up the Word of God for all of its glory. And Psalm 119 spends 176 verses meditating on the greatness of the Word of God. The title for this morning's lesson comes from Psalm 119, the end of verse 161, where the writer in 176 verses looks at the Word of God and looks at how wonderfully great the Word of God is. And he just exalts and exasperates in the last part of verse 161. And he says, "My heart stands in awe of your word." Is that the way that you feel about the Bible? Is that the heart that you have for the Word of God? Does your heart stand in awe of God's word? I hope that it does. What I want us to do this morning is look at part of one of Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11 primarily, where not only in the first part of that psalm does he exalt God, where the Bible says that God is great, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, but then starting in verse 7, he talks about how great the Word of God is. We're going to look at that in just a second. And then to look at some verses in Psalm 119 to help us to leave here today with a greater love and appreciation and respect for the Word of God. And hopefully we can have the attitude that says, "Lord, I just stand in awe of what you've given us in your Word." Look in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. And what we're going to see in just these few verses is that God has given six noble names to his Word in these verses. That we will see six amazing attributes of the Word of God in these verses. And then in these verses, not only are there these names and these attributes, but there are some extraordinary effects that God says that His Word is able to accomplish in our lives. We're just going to spend just a couple minutes in Psalm 19, but I want you to see how great these verses are in holding up the Word of God. Look in verse 7. Where the Bible is called the law of the Lord. Here's God's rule book. Here's God's rules for right and for wrong. And it's the law of God that is amenable to every person on this earth. When you pick up this book, you've got the law of the Lord in your hands. Look at the second part of verse 7. Where the Bible says when we pick up this book, we have the testimony of the Lord. Think about the word testimony when you think about some kind of a court case where a witness is called and he gives his testimony. God has given us his testimony. Here is his word that has been tried and proven to be true over and over and over. Look at verse 8. What's the word of God called in verse 8? It's called his statutes, the statutes of the Lord. What does that mean? These are, maybe you have the word precepts if you've got an American Standard, a New American Standard. These are God's set ordinances. These are God's set instructions. They don't change. They don't move. They don't vary. When you pick up the Word of God and you read the New Testament and the law of Christ, you can trust it. Look at the end of verse 8. It's not only called His statutes, but a word that we're more familiar with. It's called the commandments of the Lord. You pick up this book and we have God's authority. That's what's behind the word command, is that these are authoritative words from God. It's His rule book. It has been proven true by His testimony. It is that which is set and will not be changed. It is that which has been given to us by the authority of God. And then this interesting word in verse 9. But it's a word that God uses synonymously with His word in verse 9, and that is the fear of the Lord. Now, obviously, that is used in other ways in the Bible to not talk about the Bible, but to talk about our response to the Bible. But in this verse, God uses it to talk about His word, because that is the response That is what He wants us to have, is that reverence, that fear, that awe. I stand in awe of Your Word. Then the last thing there in verse 9. The sixth noble name that God gives to His Word in this passage are His judgments. Here are God's final decisions. Here is God's final evidence. Here is His verdict on how He wants us to live. Now you'll notice that several of these words, most of these words, are found in Psalm 119 as well, that are used over and over and over again to talk about His Word. But now I want you to see the amazing attributes that are tied to these things. Looking back in verse 7. What is the law of the Lord? It's perfect. It is all sufficient for the purpose that God intended it to fulfill. It's perfect. It's complete. When we pick up the Word of God, there's nothing lacking in it. The law of the Lord is perfect and gives us all we need to fulfill the purpose He's given to us. What about His testimonies? Look at the end of verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's sure. It's certain. I have never in my life walked out on a frozen lake. I was raised in West Palm Beach, so I'm not really sure why I've never walked out on a frozen lake. But if you walked out on a frozen lake, would you want, this is what I think of when I think about something being sure. Would you want your steps, would you want to be sure and certain that your steps were solid? That you weren't going to fall? That's the Word of God. It's sure, it's solid, it's certain. You can count on it every time. Look in verse 8. What are the statutes of the Lord? The statutes of the Lord are right. They're accurate. You can count on this book to not have any errors in it. You can count on this book to not be wrong on any point. His statutes, those set ordinances, they are right. What about the end of verse 8? What's another amazing attribute of this book? His statutes are right. The commandment of the Lord, it's pure. And it's pure because it has not been mixed with any human weakness. The Word of God has not been mixed with any human error or any flaws that man might have put into it. It's pure, it's perfect, it's sure. It's right. What about the fear of the Lord? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is clean. It's free from all contamination, free from all deterioration. It's not going to decay or fade away. And then the Bible says that when we look at the judgments of God, that they are true. They are true and righteous all the way through. They're true and righteous altogether. They're free from any kind of wrong, free from any kind of error. Bible says in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 160 that the sum, S-U-M, the total of it, the entirety of it, the sum of Thy Word is truth. Those are some of the amazing attributes of this book. And if we will take the law of the Lord, and if we will put it into our hearts and into our lives, look at some of these effects. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? It converts the soul. The gospel is powerful enough to change anyone who will obey it. It will convert or restore, some translations say, your soul. What about His testimony? Testimony of the Lord, it's right. What does it do? It makes wise the simple. This isn't talking about somebody who's simple-minded and they just don't know any better. The word that's used here is talking about the person who approaches the Bible simply with a heart that says, God, I want to do whatever You want me to do. A heart that's willing to accept whatever God says. And God says, if you'll come to Me with that kind of heart, you will be made wise. You will be saved. Look in verse 8. What is another extraordinary effect of the Word of God? The Bible says that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When was the last time you picked up the Word of God and found joy and satisfaction and happiness in studying it? You pick it up and here's God's revelation to us. Here's what God wants us to know about living. Here's God's love story about what He has done for us. We ought to walk away rejoicing in our hearts every time that we read this. Look at the end of verse 8. Another extraordinary effect of the Word of God is that His commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. I know where to go because I've got His book. Thy Word, you know it in Psalm 119, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I know the way unto life because God has shown it unto me. The fear of the Lord, it's clean and it endures forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. But He said, my words will never pass away. This truly is an amazing book. It truly is an amazing book that is perfect and sure and right and pure in every way. And it will change your life if you will let it. Looking at these three things, what needs to be my response? Here are the noble names. Here are the amazing attributes. Here are the extraordinary effects. Okay, that's what the Bible is and that's what the Bible does. What is it that I need to do in response? What does my mind need to be like toward the Word of God? Look in verse 10. Psalm 19 and verse 10. The Bible says that it is more to be desired than gold. Yes, much fine gold. My mind towards the Word of God needs to be one that desires it, that yearns for it more than I yearn for gold. How much do we yearn and desire money? How much do we desire more money? How much do we desire much more? We don't care if it's good or bad money. We'll take any money. Much more money. Our life is wrapped around it, isn't it? Even when we don't want it to be, it seems like we're wrapped around it. God says, more than I want money, I need to want, desire, crave after the Word of God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. How much does a baby need to eat? How often does a baby need to eat? When does a baby need to eat? And why is it always at 2:30 in the morning, right? A baby needs food. And a baby will let you know when it needs food. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Is that you? When you think about the Word of God, is it something that you cannot live without? Right now, I hesitate to even tell you, but right now it is 10:50 something. Okay? On a normal day, my stomach starts telling me that lunch is coming at 10 a.m. It says it's hungry. And for the next 2 hours, it progressively gets more hungry until finally it says, get up and go get something to eat. How much are you craving lunch right now? How much are you distracted thinking about whatever you left in the crock pot at home or whatever restaurant you're going to? You weren't thinking about it before, were you? But now you are. I can't wait to get there. And if he'll shut up, we can get there before everybody else. God says, more than you want food, want my word. When was the last time you went a day without reading the Word of God and at night you thought, I'm starving. I haven't had anything to eat all day. If you didn't eat all day, at night would you be feeling it physically? Why is it that at night when we haven't fed ourselves spiritually that we're not feeling it? How much do we desire and want it? You see, what happens when we desire, go to Psalm 119. We're going to spend the rest of time in 119. Actually, we're not. We're going to come back and get one more verse at the end from 19. 119. If I desire the Word of God, what's my mind going to be? It's It's going to be a mind that loves it. David or whoever wrote Psalm 119 in verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law." Not just "I love your law," "how I love your law." Not just "how I love your law," "oh, how I love your law." But that's not the only verse in this chapter that says that. Go back, get your Bibles. You got to be in Psalm 119 because we got to look at these verses. Psalm 119, look at verse 47. "I delight myself in your commandments, which I love." Look at verse 48. "My hands lift up your commandments, which I love." Look in verse 113. "I hate the double-minded, but I love your law." Verse 119. Put away all the wicked of the earth. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Look in 127. "Therefore, I love your commandments." Look in verse 140. "Your word is pure, therefore your servant loves it." Look in verse 159. "Consider how I love your precepts." Over and over in this one chapter, "Oh, how I love your law." Is that your reaction to this book? What do you do with those things that you love? Do you set aside time for them? What do you do with those things that you love? Do they become a priority in your life? How much of a priority is the Word of God in our lives? How much do we crave it? How much do we love it? Can we say, "Yeah, I love it"? Or can we say, "How I love the Word of God"? Or can we say, "Oh, how I love the law of God"? Do we have that kind of a heart? That needs to be my mind. Here's the most amazing book that I need to stand in awe of and desire it and to love it. Go back to 119, verse 97. What do I do when I love it? "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." When was the last time you sat down with the book that you love and you meditated? You sat there and you read and you meditated and you thought about what it was saying. Go back to verse 15. Psalm 119, verse 15. "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." Look at verse 23. "Princes sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes." Look in verse 27. "Make me understand the way of your precepts. Show I will meditate on your wonderful works." Look at verse 48. We saw this a minute ago where it says, "I love your commandments and I will meditate on your statutes." Look in verse 78. The end of it says, "I will meditate on your precepts." The end of verse 99, "Your testimonies are my meditation." Verse 148 says, "That I may meditate." Go to verse 148. 119, 148. "My eyes are awake through the night watches." You ever been there? You ever had a night you couldn't go to sleep? You ever had a night where you up all night, concerned, worried about something, or you just had too much coffee and you couldn't go to sleep? "My eyes are awake through the night watches. What shall I do? I cannot go to sleep. What shall I do? My eyes are awake that..." This is not a second thought. This isn't, "Well, I'm up anyway, so I'll do something." This writer said, "I don't go to sleep so that I can meditate on your word." When was the last time before you went to sleep at night, you read two verses from the Word of God and then thought about them and meditated on them as you fell asleep? How much do we love it? How much do we crave it? How much do we meditate on it? Go to verse 11. We know verse 11 where it says, "Thy word I have hidden." I've hidden it in my heart. That's what happens when we meditate on the Word of God. It becomes a part of us, and we hide it deep within our hearts. And we won't look at it because we don't have time. But go home and get out a concordance or get on the computer and look up how many times the word "heart" is in Psalm 119. Find how many times the word heart is there and see how this writer is saying, I love you with my whole heart. I seek after you with my whole heart. I want your word with my whole heart. We need to take this word and we need to write it upon our hearts. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 talks about the fact that we need to guard and to protect our hearts because out of our hearts come the issues of life. You want to control your issues of life? You want to learn to better control your tongue? You want to better learn to control your temper and your anger? You want to better learn to control how you treat those people that you work with or how you treat those people in your home? You want to better learn how to control your issues of life? Write the Word of God upon your heart. You know, I think about when I think about writing something or keeping something in your heart, I think about Mary in Luke chapter 2. Now, the Bible says that Mary saw what Jesus was doing and she kept these things in her heart. What does that mean? She saw these things, she thought about what he was doing, she meditated on what he was doing. And as a mother, she just kind of tucked those away in her heart as a special memory. You've got them as parents. As a special memory of her child and understanding him as the Son of God. Do you have those things that you've tucked away in your heart from the Word of God? That you've put in there for a time when you will need them the most. That you've put in there. Jesus did it. You know how Jesus overcame temptation? It is written. It is written. It is written. For a time when he needed it the most, he wrote it upon his heart. Take it and hide it upon your heart. And when you have hidden it in your heart, learn to love the Word of God. And therefore, Psalm 119 and verse 104 says, through your precepts I get understanding. Through your word I get understanding. I understand what's right and I understand righteousness. Therefore, the writer says, I hate every false way. In Psalm 97, where it says, you who love the Lord, what do? If I love the Lord, he says, hate evil. Evil should not appeal to us. Wicked ways should not appeal to us. Every false way should not appeal to us. Our love for God and his word should be so deep and so alive that we want to have nothing to do with every false way that comes about us. And again, those verses are found frequently throughout this psalm, but we won't take time to look at it because I want to talk about this last point. What should be my mind toward the Word of God? God, I stand in awe of your Word. It has these noble names, these amazing attributes, these extraordinary effects. What do I need to do? I need to love it. I need to desire it. I need to meditate upon it. I need to write it upon my heart so that I want to do what's right and not what's evil. And then I need to obey it. Look in verse 105 or 115 on the screen. I will keep the commandments of my God. I want you to go back and look at how often this psalm says that. Go back to verse 2. Go to the beginning of Psalm 119. And then we will finish this lesson. Psalm 119 and verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with me, your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Look at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Verse 34, the next one. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Verse 44. So shall I keep your law continually. Verse 55. Remember me, that I might keep your law. Verse 57, I have said that I would keep your words. Verse 60, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. And we could read just as many as that again in this psalm. God, please help me to keep your word. When you look at this book, do you desire it? Love it? Do you meditate on it? I know there's a lot of things that we have written on our hearts. There are some of you in here who know more about, and I'm going to try to be careful with this, I'll get all of you. There are some of you in here who know more about college football than I will ever have a clue of knowing. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm glad you know it. I'm glad you know who's playing on every team. And you make that professional football, you make that baseball, you make that whatever it is that is you. That when you get in a conversation with somebody, you know the player, you know the person, you know whatever it is, you know everything there is to know about it. Why? Why is it that those of you who are Gator fans, those of you who are, I think Bama fans are down south this week, aren't they? They're down in Boca this week. Those of you who are, why is it that you know all of this stuff about your team? Because you love it. You live it. And I'm not saying anything about that, but I want you to apply that to this. Why is it that we don't know this book as well as we should? Is it a reflection on how much we love it? Is it a reflection on how much we need it? Is it a reflection on how much we crave it? Back in Psalm 19, the very last verse in verse 11 that we're going to talk about, says that in addition to these four things that we've talked about, there is a precious promise if I will keep God's word. Bible says in verse 11 of Psalm 19 that through God's word he warns me, but he warns me and tells me that if I will keep his word, that there is great reward. Do you have the promise, that precious promise of a great reward? The great reward of heaven. The only way you have that promise is if you keep the word of God, if you obey it. Where is your heart this morning? Where is your mind towards the word of God? Can you, like the psalmist, say, my heart stands in awe of your word? And if it stands in awe at how wonderful and marvelous and unique it is, it needs to stand in awe of it in what it commands us to do. Are you a child of God today? Have you kept the most important commandments in the Word of God and how to become a Christian? Doesn't mean that the others are not important, but the most important decision that you can ever make is to obey God. Because if you do not, then that reward cannot be yours. Do you believe this morning with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder. If we want the reward, we've got to believe. If you believe that, then will you this morning make up your mind to turn away from sin, to turn away from error and wrong in your life, repent of those sins, and turn towards God and say, I want to do God's will instead of my will. If you will do that, then this morning you can confess your faith. The great reward that comes with a proper confession of faith is that Jesus said He'll confess you before His Father. And this very day you can do what the Bible says to do to become a child of God, be baptized into Christ. The promise is that you will have remission of your sins. They'll all be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then God calls upon us to get into His Word, to study it, to learn it, and to live it faithfully for the rest of our lives. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.